The reading is taken from Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1186 of your Bible. In the Church of Thessalonica, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you, continually mentioning our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you simply with words, but also with power, the Holy Spirit, and the deep conviction. You know we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of the severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Please, would you stand now for our gospel reading?
If you want to follow the gospel reading in the Bibles, it's on page 990. Comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, reading from verses 15 to 22. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Paying the poll tax to Caesar. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
So may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Right. I'm going to use my little clicker now, and hopefully it'll work. I'm going to get you to do a quiz, so you've got to pay attention. I'm not going to make you stand up, I'm just going to make you put your hands up, okay? So this is a quiz of, if you had to make a choice between the following, what would you choose? It's very easy. Very easy quiz. So here's where technology doesn't work. Oh, there we go. Okay, so are you a dog person or a cat person? So hands up if you're for dogs. Okay. There's no right or wrong answer, it's a choice, you know. Hands up if you're for cats. Okay, this is my choice, the cats, But I think actually the dogs had it with you guys. Okay, next. Crisps or chocolate. Okay, so are we a sweet tooth or a savoury bunch? So crisps. Crisps. Yeah, okay. Chocolate. I think chocolate might have had it. I'm not sure I should be here because I'm definitely a crisp, savoury woman. Okay, next. As it comes into winter, we might be slightly dreaming about the beach holiday, the warm holiday that we had in the summer, or we might be going somewhere over winter. I don't know. Or the mountain, the beach or the mountain. You might have gone skiing at some point, you might love it, you might like hill walking. So who's for the beach? Oh, okay. It's quite decisive. Who's for the mountain? Okay, the beach had it. There we go, I'm in the right place after all. Now this one, we'll see. If you had a choice. Hearing or seeing? It's a bit of a tricky one, this. It's not quite the same level of choice making. I will ask you, I couldn't make a decision about this. So, hearing? Seeing? Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. I didn't make a choice on this one, actually, because I thought that just makes the point that there are sometimes different levels of choices that we have to make. So the first reading that we heard, which June read to us, the 1 Thessalonians reading, it's a letter. It's a letter from St. Paul to a church that he founded in a bustling commercial seaport in northern Greece. It's a young church, and they've been through quite a lot, actually. There's been a lot of persecution of Christians in that area. And so Paul and Timothy and Silvanus, also known as Silas, they write them a letter to this church encouraging them. And the church that St. Paul is writing to in Thessalonica is actually quite distinctive in character because it's full of people who were not really religious. The norm would have been for Paul to rock up in a new place and for the first place for him to go to be the synagogue, because Paul was a Jew of Jews and his radical conversion to being a follower of Jesus didn't mean that he jettisoned his Jewish faith, but rather that he came to understand that the fulfillment of the Jewish faith was to be found in Jesus. So his first port of call was normally, and actually in this case also, to the Jews, preaching Jesus in the synagogues, that Jesus was their Messiah, the one who they had been waiting for. For the Jews to whom Paul came, there was a common language between him and them. He didn't have to lay it out step by step. You know, he would sort of say, you know, we've been waiting for the Messiah. And they would say, yeah. And he would then tell them about Jesus. Now, it didn't always go quite as smoothly as that. But in a sense, there were layers that he didn't have to explain before he started telling his, you know, the Jews, his people, about Jesus. But for whatever reason, we find that actually most of the people who were in this church, who had become followers of Jesus in Thessalonica, were people that we call the Gentiles. And that means that they just weren't Jews. They weren't Jews to begin with. And actually, so that they didn't have the religious background that Paul was used to working with. Now, when I say that they weren't religious, I don't really mean that, not exactly. Because in the first century, everyone was religious. They were all religious. They all had gods that they believed in. And they probably had many gods. many gods that they believed in. There was a whole host to choose from. And Paul comes along with one more. That's fine. Just, you know, add him in. There's room for all. So when I say they weren't religious, what I mean is that they just didn't get the idea that there was one true God. Religion, the temples of gods that were just around at that time, were just part of the life that they led. They had a culture of God worship. You had an important business meeting, bring an offering to the local god. You have an important family event, trip to the temples in order, whichever one suited at that moment. But to have a whole life ordered or created or whose sole purpose was for the worship of a god, one particular god, giving up all the other stuff, that was insane. That was madness. They were religious just because that's what you did. It was like dogs or cats. You know, it's a nothing question. It's a nothing choice. It didn't cost us to decide a dog or a cat. You know, chocolate or crisps. That's what it was like. What's your poison? And tomorrow it might be different. It depended what you wanted from the gods. They were there to be pacified or pleaded with and little else. So when Paul came along into this setting with a story, a different story, one God who was the creator of everything, who had come into the world in human form, under whom there were no littler gods, it was just God, who desired relationship with those that God had made, then that was actually quite a radical and world-changing moment. Not only was the world, Paul claimed, different to how they had understood it, but God, Paul said, demanded more of them than they had ever imagined. God wasn't about receiving little offerings, little tricklings of their time or money or effort or allegiance when they felt like it. No, the God that Paul was telling them about, the God that Paul was proclaiming, wanted all of a person, all of the time. I think no wonder then that when we read that letter of Paul's, that we have that sense that Paul really loved this church in Thessalonica. Because, to put it bluntly, they had quite a lot to lose in rejecting the gods that they were used to worshipping, or, as Paul puts it, the idols that they worshipped. Of rejecting them and choosing Jesus, that was highly costly. Their life as citizens in Thessalonica would have been pretty good. A busy, thriving port town, lots of opportunities for Roman citizens who worshipped the Roman gods including the Roman emperor, who was thought of as a god, Roman citizens who kept the peace, who went along with the status quo, and who towed the line. Their choice to worship Jesus and to orientate their lives entirely around the one true God was incredibly costly. And it wasn't just costly because they might have missed out on all that good stuff of citizenship, jobs, status, the right to trade, but because to reject the gods of the Roman Empire was to reject the empire, and it was likely to get you chucked in prison as a terrorist, as Paul himself had been, or worse, you were likely to be killed. So Paul, although he was a Jew, he was also a Roman citizen, and he knew the reality of the choice to follow Jesus that the Thessalonian Christians were making. It was a life and death choice. Slightly different to the level of choices we were making earlier. And on the surface, it seemed that out of that, the choice they were being asked to make was death. Thankfully, our choice to follow Jesus, Amelia's choice today to follow Jesus, doesn't, in this country, tend to be a literal life and death choice. Although in other parts of the world, that is certainly true. It is a literal choice. We don't live in a place where being a Christian is dangerous. But the choice that has been made today in baptism, and which should remind us all, those of us who've been baptized, of our baptisms and the promises made over us at our baptism, that is still a life and death choice that is being made. It can often feel strange at the baptism of a baby whose life is so brand new, to have that part of the baptism service where we say, "We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection." And we often skip quickly past the part which talks of death and head rightly and with joy to the promise of resurrection and new life. But as Christians, as those making these choices of baptism, it's really important that we understand that in order to come to life, in order to live in the very real truth that God is real, that God is here, that Jesus is alive, then in some ways we need to choose death. That death is the gateway through which life comes. And the trick of it is in that giving ourselves over to God wholly, in dying to the things that pull us away from God. We talked about that in the baptism promises. We were removing ourselves, going away from those things which were destructive and which weren't going to bring life. So that's dying to those things. So dying to those things actually which Paul in that reading calls idols, whatever they are, you know, whether we're, you know, addicted to shopping or whether we're, you know, have deeper addictions, whether we have things in our lives which control us, which isn't God, those idols, we need to die to those things, and then we become the most alive that we could be. Now, I hope that Amelia will always know that she has a home. She's looking very comfortable at the minute. She has a home here at St. Michael's, but also in any Christian community which she encounters. She's part of the church, and that's bigger than us here today. I hope that as she grows up, she will have that sense of being at home here and at home in the Christian church. I hope that she never experiences Christian life as something which is, you know, chocolate or crisps. Chocolate or crisps. It's not that kind of choice. So I pray for her today, as I pray for us all, that she grows to grasp the reality of what has happened this morning, that life is more than mediocre choices, and that the more and more we choose to give ourselves entirely to God, the more alive we will be, and the more alive she will be. The choice to follow Jesus is to choose life, is to choose life. It's a life that can be full of adventure and joy. So we pray that for Amelia this morning.